right? Like our brains have kind of learned over time and through experience that the more instances that we're involved in, the more different type of scenarios, our brain begins to form patterns. It's like, okay, there's certain things known as fighting words, right? Like there's very simple words that if said will elicit a certain response. Our brain has kind of been conditioned to respond to certain things a certain way over time.
This is episode 110 of the Neuro Experience Podcast. I'm Louisa. I'm your host. Joining me today is the amazing Jason Hamera. Jason is joining us today as a fitness professional and advocate of the mind, the body, the spirit. Today, he's going to be talking to us about self-talk, how it impacts your mind, your brain, and your success, how it impacts it positively and negatively. We're going to be going through what positive self-talk is, what negative self-talk is, how it impacts your life, your relationships, how you can change it, turn it around, and start talking to yourself like you are your own best friend so you can be producing the results that you want to achieve that ultimate success. Let's go.
Waking up next to me. Staying relevant's the only shit I'm focused on. Like yesterday, you forever in the past to me.
Jason, you're here. Welcome to Everlast Headquarters. Welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
How does it feel?
Feels pretty good. I know we've been chatting about this opportunity for probably like a year now, and I know.
Listen, yeah. There's a wait line. All the guests have to get in line, and we put you on the schedule. 12 months later, you're here. That's
exactly. Take a number, and maybe you'll be here 2022. I think at this point, you might have doubled in your popularity.
Yes, sure. You probably will get bumped for J-Lo. Just putting it out there. Ooh. When she's ready for me. But no, seriously, on a serious note, I'm so excited to have Jason here because Jason is someone who we've had a lot of interactions over the last 2 years, mainly in the fitness space and especially in the mental performance space. But something that caught my attention was a conversation I was having with Jason not too long ago on the power of words and the power of self-talk. Now, you all know how much I love this topic because you know that, and if you've been following along the podcast, you know how relevant self-talk is in reshaping, rewiring your brain. Now, I've mentioned oftentimes that a thought produces an action produces the result, and your result produces your destiny. Now, why don't we go a step before the action and talk about how we actually a step before the thought, how do we get that thought? And this is what I was having a conversation with Jason about. In my eyes, which you can probably back me up, mm-hmm. A thought is something that I call it a make-believe thing that you've heard from someone somewhere. And, you know, we can, over time, our thoughts can come from what we're feeding ourselves, whether we're feeding ourselves from the television screen, what we're looking at on Instagram, and then from those things, what we're seeing, like the environment, what we see, we then put words into our head, mm-hmm, and then those mm-hmm. words create thoughts, and those thoughts create actions, those actions create the result, and the result creates mm-hmm. our life.
Yep.
So self-talk, what's your take on it, both negative and positive?
Right. Well, you put it beautifully there, and if you don't mind me just allowing to kind of distill that down, words create worlds is kind of, I think, the theme of what we're going over. And it's language is everywhere, right? You know, we're sitting here speaking on a podcast, the listeners on the other side are receiving this. And just like you said, this can be potentially impacting how people begin to think, right? Our thoughts are essentially, for all intents and purposes, done in words, right? And those words can become negative or positive based on an enormous amount of biases, enormous amount of filters, colorings, different types of sources and everything. But really trying to kind of distill everything down, I think Shakespeare said it, you know, brilliantly when he said, nothing is either good or bad, only thinking makes it so. It's kind of a William Shakespeare.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's one of those maxims. That
is so correct. Mm-hmm. Only thinking makes it so.
Mm-hmm,
love
mm-hmm.
that.
And, you know, we could go down the philosophical rabbit hole with that, but if we took that as kind of a foundational argument standpoint now, when information is coming in and we're beginning to kind of say, okay, you know, I'm forming a thought, right? And it can take the turn of either a thought that's going to help me produce a better version of myself or a thought that's going to inhibit that better version of myself. There's you know, not going into the deepness of cognitive biases, which I know, you know, Louisa definitely dealing with the brain and the mechanisms that go behind, from the philosophical perspective, there's a lot of coloring that's going to guide those thoughts to one cue or the other. And if we focused first, let's say that, you know, we're having this interaction and let's say it makes me feel a certain way, right? Mm. Those feelings are essentially brought in by the words that you're using, right? And my brain is processing those words and my brain is beginning to make sense of those words. And based on, like we said, a whole host of different filters and biases and all this great stuff, I get a thought about my emotions. And so what we can really begin to see out the gate is that there's a huge link, obviously, between what's said and how we feel. Mm. The cool kind of thing about words creating worlds is the second we get that and recognize this, and obviously, you know, looking at meditation, looking at Buddhist practices and understanding being present in the moment and allowing thoughts to kind of move freely before we assign any type of meaning, as these instances and occurrences are happening, we now have the responsibility to become more mindful of the things that are coming in and where they can potentially be bouncing around, not only in the brain, but also in the mind, which is kind of that emergent composite of all the processes that's going on in the brain.
So what you're saying is somebody says something to you, any in any form of communication, and you get a response from another person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's your responsibility with how you receive that response, correct?
I think there's, yes, we have a responsibility, but that process has been largely automated, right?
Simple for me.
Right. So what you're describing there is you're describing the communication continuum, right? In order for communication to happen, there has to be a sender, a receiver, and a message and a mode of delivery. And to keep things simple, let's talk about language as the mode of delivery, right? So the sender could be me. I'm saying something to you. You're the receiver. The mode of communication is language. And the situation you're describing, I'm sure the listeners can attest, happens all too regularly. Hey, I said this, but really I meant that, which means that you might have misconstrued it and felt this, which means now that we're not seeing eye to eye, where the language broke down was not in the actual words itself, but it was in either the transmission, right? So it could be nonverbals, tone of voice, body language. It could be contextual, and it could be something that either myself as the receiver didn't account for, or a communicator didn't account for, or you as the receiver weren't ready for. And these could be things like, you know, extenuating circumstances. Maybe you just went through a breakup and I say something about, you know, a love relationship and it rubs you the wrong way. Something that...
Been there, done that. I had the entire New York City after me, that one breakup, so...
Oh, well, good thing we struck a heartstring with that one, right? But we can see how just like the emittance of words, these vocalizations, these sounds can have such different responses based on contextual communicators.
Okay, so then what about self-talk? So we just talked about communication. Where does self-talk come into play?
Right, so self-talk is literally, it's that voice in your head that just kind of guides you, right? Some people call it a conscience, some people call it morality, some people call it the id, the ego, the super ego, wherever you're at, whatever type of theory or thought process you want to put to it. I think we all know there's something inside us that seems to be pulling little levers and guiding our behavior, and it uses language to kind of get that across to us. When we talk about self-talk, it could be something as simple as you look in the mirror before an interview and you say, I got this. That's self-talk, right? It could also be something where when you wake up and you're getting ready to go to the gym and you take one look in the mirror and you say, hey, I don't got this. And while both of those words are different by literally a contraction, right? I got this or I don't got this. The implications to guiding behavior are monumental.
So what you're saying is, whatever you tell yourself, either positive or negative, relays into our actions and how we're going to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The same way that if I communicate something to you, it's going to elicit a response. I communicate something to myself, both consciously like, hey, I know I need motivation for this, so let me rev myself up, versus, hey, my willpower is depleted, I'm beaten down, and now there's this kind of this automatic voice, this potential negativity that's stirring up that's trying to redirect my course of behavior.
You know, it makes it so interesting, especially when we tap into the neuroscience behind this, because I always say that the brain is plastic, the brain is dumb. You tell it something, it will do it. You tell it something bad, it will make yourself believe it. Mm-hmm. You tell yourself long enough that you're a unicorn and you'll start acting like one. Actually, there's a quote by Hitler, something, you know, that he said, and it goes along the lines of, tell yourself a lie long enough and you'll start to believe it. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because it's fascinating to see how you can turn your entire life around by changing your self-talk. Mm-hmm. Now, here is what I find fascinating. If we all know this, why are we not all walking around giving ourselves pep talks, positive self-talks?
Positive,
we talk about this in,
right?
Positive,
yeah.
Affirmations. We talk about this in, especially, guys, you know this, with neuroathletics and with all my athletes that I coach and train, a big component of that is, what are you saying to yourself? Then it comes down to positive affirmations. So why are we not all walking around doing it?
Here is the rub. It's not that easy.
It requires takes a lot of energy, doesn't it?
There it is. Yep, exactly. It is calorically demanding upon the brain. You know, and you can obviously back this up, Louisa, our brains are designed for one thing, survive, right?
Survival mode.
And we can look primitively, and survival mode used to be simple. You know, avoid the saber-toothed tiger and get the girl and spread your genes, or get the guy and spread your genes, whichever, you know, side you were on. But ultimately, that was the brain's only mission, you know, avoid demise and reproduce. Okay. In our socially constructed world, which is relatively new, you know, modern society, like we could say it was the agriculture revolution 10,000 years ago, but our primitive brain goes back 2.5 million years. We're fighting against a lot of conditioned evolution to really, you know, create what we are. So when we're looking at modern day survival, right, we now have to survive not only in the physical world, but in the social world. So that becomes incredibly cognitive demanding, especially with the rise of social media, especially with the rise of complex organizations, with friendships, with relationships, and with the sad identity crisis that we're going through. These all require time, energy, and effort that our brains are so busy trying to scramble for what's right to survive in them, they almost forget about what it takes just to, keep ourself going. You know, we kind of take a back seat to the societal machine. It's like, well, okay, if Louisa doesn't like me today, then it doesn't matter how much positive affirmation I give myself. I need to make sure that if I'm going to be in the presence of another human, that human likes me, therefore I survive and I get to continue to thrive. And because of that, the brain dedicates its resources to that social learning versus the intrinsic positive affirmations that, you know, kind of make us feel good.
So how detrimental is this in terms of one's success?
Yeah, it could be. It's either an obstacle or an opportunity, right? You know, two sides of the same coin, or different sides of the same coin, right? Ultimately, if we look at the amount of energy we have and we're expending it on constantly trying to exist in this social world, then our successes have to be, you know, somewhat bootstrapped to that, right? So, we talked about this a little bit before we got on the show. What is success? And we know if we ask what success is, we'll get 10,000 different answers. If we ask 10,000 people, even more. If we ask even more. But ultimately, success is very individualistic. But more importantly, it's goal-directed or goal-oriented. So if success is to survive in society or thrive in society, then these negative self-talks or, you know, kind of beating ourselves down or not giving us the positive affirmations that we need is going to be a huge roadblock to obtaining any type of social credibility, any type of social status, any type of financial, monetary, physical appreciation for what we do in our hard work. Because we're so busy just trying to, you know, scramble and understand a system that's ever changing that we just never really stop, take a second, realize I got this organism that I gotta maintain. And the way to do it is to kind of change my internal dialogue that I can then fit myself into the system instead of trying to continue to squeeze the system's rules and goals into myself.
So what role does social media play on this?
That's always a fan favorite, isn't it?
Yeah.
I, for one, I'm not huge into social media. I've been obviously like everyone else. I like to get likes. I mean, that's why they're called likes. You know, they're pleasurable. They potentially release a hit of dopamine. They show that we're societally accepted, which if our goal is to survive and thrive, if someone else likes us, then that's a hit in the right direction. And as long as we keep that in check and our egos don't get out of control, I think social media can be a great tool. I mean, I think it's just another way of expression. I think it's a great way to share information. But just as I spoke about before, now that we get inundated with so many opinions, right, because now everybody has a voice, we have to be responsible enough to dig a little bit deeper, the same way that we have to be responsible enough to dig deeper to filter the information that's coming into us. With social media, we have to, you know, figure out who we can trust, who's going to align with our goals and our successes, like who do we want to be as a better person? And then how do we really, I don't want to say fact check, but how do we really just align our belief system with their belief system, knowing, hoping, and taking that probabilistic gamble that it will get us to a better spot in our lives, right? So,
oh my God, that just sounds so mentally draining. Imagine doing that for you're following like 1,000 people. Imagine just doing that for every single one of the people you follow on social media, trying to fit their belief system, trying to fit their lives.
Right?
Oh my God.
Yep. But guess what? That's what we try and do. That's why you see people will, you know, kind of put their material out, but they're constantly either trying to reinvent it, they're taking a new take on it. And there, it's sad, but it's also exciting because, like I said, it's either an obstacle or an opportunity, right? This could be a major roadblock to society's advancement, or this could be a huge opportunity for us as a species to be more connected, communicate in a better, more realistic light. And I think it's too early to kind of call like whether or not social media is good or bad in that sense. But I believe just like anything, it's a tool. And as a carpenter who would learn how to use a hammer to be a great carpenter, we need to learn a little bit more about the long-term impacts of social media before we can kind of say it's good or bad. Because I think Instagram's what? I think it's 20 years old, but maybe 10 years of actual publicity at this point, or maybe 15 years. Yeah?
I would not know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Just going by what you're saying, I think that when we talk about negative self-talk, when we talk about positive self-talk, I truly think it has a massive effect on how we conduct our lives and how we generate success and generate results. Now, I know for myself that my self-talk changes, and I wish it's hard. It really is freaking so hard to manage it and stay on top of it, which I do. But you can, if you're easily manipulated by an audience or by a new fad or even by a television show, it can change what's happening in your head, and what's happening in your head can change with, you know, can change your self-talk. So let's talk about some ways that if anybody is out there and they know, you know, if your self-talk is negative, you know, if it's positive. Sometimes people may say sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good towards, you know, you may wake up and your self-talk is great when you're going to the gym and you're feeling good, but you're going to, on the same day you're going to work, and your self-talk is negative. So what are some things that we can be doing to change our self-talk around so it can be serving us for the better, so we can be achieving the results that we want?
Great, great. So there's you brought up a great word, manipulation, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great segue into kind of unpacking a little bit more the interventions or the weapons against negative self-talk, because there's such a fine line.
Weapons against negative. I love that word.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's weaponize. Let's go. Yeah. There's such a fine line between manipulation and motivation, right? You know, so many things, because this is where I look at social media and I say, I think everyone has the purest of intentions, right? Like, yes, of course, there's those, sadly, those malicious people out there that are trying to get ahead, right? They're trying to manipulate others at their own sake so that they can fulfill their egos. But I do believe that that's in the minority. And I believe that the majority of people that produce content, that are producing shows, that are creating, they're just fulfilling a human desire. Like, to create is to be human. That's kind of what separates us. And we're getting really dang good at it, which is incredible. But again, you know, we're doing it as a motivational standpoint, but like you said, it could be slightly manipulative. It could start saying like, you know, the story can be so good for a new fitness product that it kind of manipulates and you give up all of your past belief systems just to go after this one thing. And so I think when we look at our negative self-talk, a lot of that arises from just not having the confidence in what grounds us to get us to where
yes.
we are, right? That's a huge piece is yeah. that we see something new and we give up everything we've learned,
yes.
right? We're just like, I think you might've been there once or twice. I know I have for sure. But it's, you know,
it really has happened to me before.
Yeah. You don't build a 30 story skyscraper by building the first 29 floors, knocking them down and then just building the 30th, mm. right? You got to have a foundation. You got to respect the fact that if you're listening to this, you might have listeners that are two or three, mm. probably not. You most likely the listeners are somewhere in their teenage years, if not their 20s or 30s, which means that we've had tons of years of experience to kind of get us to where we're at in our lives. And the negative talk comes in when we give up on that, when we say, you know what, everything I've done was worthless and we can't do that. And the first defense against the dark arts is to just be able to, you know, filter in the information you're getting. Look at a new Instagram page, look at a new TV show, you know, explore a new hobby, take on a new fitness class, whatever.
Or get off the internet altogether and just spend some time in nature and with yourself.
And that as well, only to come back and then repost about it on the internet once yeah. you're done. Right?
I took off. Hi guys, it's me. And I took, you probably noticed that I took a week off social media. It's like, no one noticed. No one yeah, cares.
No, exactly. But you know what? We're trying to exist in this world and get affirmation for our existence. So of course we say like, yes, guys, I'm going away. And three people go, yay. And then you come back and two people go, yay. And you know, our lives are here to make meaning, and the language that we use to describe that life, the words that create the worlds, you know, they take on this negativity because we don't have the confidence, we don't have the grounding, and we don't have the purpose or direction in what we've built to see the future without this brand new toy, fitness toy, or this brand new financial intervention, or this new TV show that everyone's talking about, so we can be part of the you know, the new social norms that are going on, or this new buzzword. You know, I'm 34. I'll drop my age out there. I have a niece who's 10, and I forget what she said. The kids are saying a new phrase these days. It's like Bow something, or I don't even know what it is.
Oh my
but there's,
gosh, that just made me feel so old.
Yeah,
it's like when they used to say to me when I was a high school teacher, I'd get them to do something like, hey guys, today we're going to open up chapter 10. I need you to complete exercise 10A. They'd say, oh miss, that's such a trek. I'd be like,
what is this?
Yeah, what does this mean? Like,
right? And you know, language evolves almost as fast as we do. And the crazy thing is you know, we're 20 years, 25 years into the age of the internet, right? If you look at things that have predicted trends like the stock market, we know it's good. Why? Because we have, you know, 100 some years of data. We only have 20 years of data right now, 25 years of data on the internet that's actually been as connected as it is. And we don't know where it's going. So, you know, tying this all back into where does our negative self-talk come from and how can we defend? I mean, the first thing is to be confident and comfortable that what you've done up until this point in your life has worked for a reason. And if you feel that it could work better, then it's just that, it could work better. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. That doesn't mean that it's, you know, you should trash it all and start this brand new thing. You know, Semisonics, one of my favorite songs, Closing Time. Every new beginning comes at some other beginning's end, right? If you're going to close the chapter on one part of your life and you want to open a new one, you still need the words to write it down. You still rely on the same rules of language and grammar, and you still use the same speech when you design this to yourself, and don't let go of that, right? So the first thing, if you're experiencing this negative talk, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough, or I don't feel like it, you know, you take a step back and you kind of reflect on, well, okay, what did I do to get myself here? Mm. And how can I begin kind of deconstructing where these thoughts came from so I can begin to kind of create that defense? And whether it is time for a change, great, but it's minor changes, small little steps.
So it's like studying yourself. It's actually true. This is actually a very therapeutic method and a form of journaling. Mm. When you're really feeling so fucked up in your head, you sit down, you get a pen, mm-hmm. you get a piece of paper or your journal, and you really deconstruct how you got to where you are, mm-hmm. or why you're thinking that. And I've had it so many times, you know, in my head, I had to really sit down and think, why do I think this about this person? Why am I thinking this about my life and my job? And you really deconstruct it. So I guess it's the same with your positive self-talk, really trying to understand it. There's actually another powerful thing in sports psychology, a method that they use to track the self-talk happening in an athlete's head. And they say, just in a day, write down the thoughts. Like what is some of the consistent thoughts you have? And when you look at it, maybe 20% of their thoughts are positive, and then like, you know, the rest, the 80% is negative. And it's like, well, how can we be achieving? How can we be in the alpha brainwave state? How can we be in that zone, in that peak performance, right. that flow zone, if all you're doing is speaking about the negativity?
Right, right. Well, I mean, in comes your buddy, the amygdala, and we know the fear response out of that guy is obviously, again, it's primal. So the reason that the majority of our thoughts are going to turn back negative is because, you know, we're creating the motivation to avoid the fear of failure, right? If there's a fear of potential failure to avoid reaching a goal, having these negative thoughts and simulating possible failures, ideally, if we can leverage it, would allow us then to create interventions to not fail, right? So there's a huge difference. So negative talk actually doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It can be motivating. It could be like, hey, listen, I want to, you know, let's say I want to run a 10K. Well, I got back pain. Oh, I got knee pain. Oh, last time I ran a 10K, I didn't hit my time. All of these thoughts immediately flood our brains as these past experiences populate. The amygdala creates a fear response. So all of a sudden now we're getting a somatosensory response, and viscerally we're starting to cringe at the side of the gym. Maybe we're getting a cramp faster than we need to. But, you know, again, these are obstacles where we can turn into opportunities and say, okay, well, if these things happen and these negative thoughts are coming into my brain, what can I do to overcome them before I actually end up going into that same exact scenario and creating the same failure I had before? So the negative thoughts can, in a weird paradoxical way, be positive if we're just capable of removing the filters and saying, why are these happening to me? And what am I going to do to not let them happen in the future? So to kind of bring that back to your earlier question of like, you know, what does negative self-talk do in terms of success? Well, I personally think that it motivates success and actually can help us achieve higher levels of success if we're able to deconstruct those negative self-thoughts, we're able to come up with interventions to prevent them, and then we're able to derive and muster up the motivation to stay on track, stay on target, and move toward the goal. Because the process is simple. It's real simple. Have goal, achieve goal. That's it. A to B. However, we know that's not easy. And what gets in the way more often than not is these thoughts that I can't, I won't, and mostly they're grounded in our past. Past failures are driving future false starts, right? So it's like, I failed in the past, now I have these thoughts, now I can't do my goal. But in reality, all these past experiences and these negative thoughts are telling us is, hey, dummy, try harder. I'm coming to you as a message to say, last time your knee went out, go seek help. Go figure out a way to train so your knee doesn't hurt. Not don't do it, but hey, remember that last time when it hurt? Well, you got 3 months till your next marathon. Go train it out so it doesn't happen to you.
So pretty much learning from your mistakes, which it takes some of us about 15 mistakes to learn from. So
yeah,
I absolutely love and agree with everything you're saying. And it's so amazing when you really break it down. You know, he really just, it's like an onion, and you really just peeled off all the layers there for us so we can understand. So in a nutshell, you have this, you know, right now you do like, whether it's poetry, whether it's something to really get across some of your powerful messages. And I really love them. And I know that you're going to surprise us in the audience today with something amazing that you wrote, on self-talk. So
yeah,
go for it.
So it's, I do this thing, it's called Reflection Fridays, and it's a reflection with an X, and it basically just kind of comes from looking back over the week and saying, okay, where was a place or an opportunity that I could have done better? And each and every week on my Instagram page, I kind of go out there and I say, hey, listen, here's one thing that I'm reflecting back on that I could have done better on. And here's a way that maybe you could have learned from it, or maybe you resonate with it and maybe you can learn something too. Because ultimately we know words do create our worlds. And if we have the understanding that it's our responsibility to deepen our vocabulary, and that it's our responsibility to, you know, really appreciate the power of our words, then this little reflection here is kind of a summation of everything we've done. So here we go. The reflection is called Words. Speak with conviction, the story that's been written, decoding the meaning, exploring what could be, the root of our pain, executing and slaying the memories of failure, despair. I don't care what's been there. It's already packaged in a box that's not square, deformed and twisted by phases we misused, which then lie when we try to use them to predict our next move. When words create worlds, they grab hold to a story we've told ourselves that's simply not true, marked by the lens that we look through. Sadly, we make do and create the same expectations too. So now it's up to you. Reflect and let it stew. There's a terror that grew, but it can be battered and beaten, rendered fear defeated by changing a simple word, respecting the complexity of the world. Raise up and tell yourself, no more. I can. I'm here now. To create a plan, I am. I will become. A message of positivity. Put in the work and watch the shift in your reality.
Boom.
Boom. Hey.
I absolutely loved that. You are phenomenal, Jason. Thank you so much. I'm going to have that on repeat every single freaking morning. Thank you for coming in and showing this and really deconstructing the power of self-talk, both positive and negative, and how we can turn it around to change our lives. If we want some more motivation and to look at your reflection Fridays, where can we find you?
Sure. Well, first off, thank you, Louisa, for having me on here. Like we said, yeah, 2020 was my year. I put this in at early 2019. So grab your numbers, folks, if you'd like to be a guest on the Diamond Boss. Louisa is absolutely incredible. All things cognitive, neuroscience, neuroathletics, fantastic opportunity. But if you want to find out a little bit more about reflection and myself, Jason Hamera, the Instagram is simple. It's jason.hamera, H-A-M-E-R-A on Instagram. And thank you guys for listening.